Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, September 11, 2024, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We are in a parenthesis. A very important parenthesis. Really, it's the only hope for client nation USA. We are on the verge of the fifth cycle of national discipline. And apart from the fulfilling of this parenthesis, we will receive the fifth cycle of national discipline. So this is a very important parenthesis, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. Spiritual revival, spiritual awakening. And if that occurs, then we will be here a little bit longer. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1 says, now we, royal family of God, are all working together. Operation teamwork. The body of Christ is the team and requires teamwork. The local church is a team and requires teamwork. We are all working together, operation teamwork, on the same team. We are all in full-time Christian service. And therefore, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. And then that we have a parenthesis. Verse 2, the entire verse is a parenthesis. It's a quotation from Isaiah 49, verse 8. Isaiah was a great, great communicator of the Word of God. Lived about the same time as Joel. At the time that Isaiah was communicating the Word of God, Judah, the southern kingdom, was on the fifth cycle, on the edge of the fifth cycle of national discipline. In fact, Sennacherib and the Assyrians came down out of Nineveh and destroyed everything in their path, everything. And then they came to Judah, the southern kingdom. They came to Jerusalem, and they totally surrounded Jerusalem. And Sennacherib knew it was, he even had an obelisk made and said, I have the Jews caught up like a bird in a cage, and I'll take them. What he didn't know was that through the teaching of Isaiah and the teaching of Joel, there was a great spiritual revival in the southern kingdom, Judah. Unbelievers turned to the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and believed him for salvation. And reversionistic believers rebounded, got back into fellowship with God. And then they grew up under the teaching of Isaiah. They grew up and advanced to spiritual adulthood. The pivot enlarged. And Sennacherib had no idea that that had happened. And so in one night, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a result of that spiritual revival, delivered the southern kingdom, Judah, by destroying 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. 185,000 Assyrian soldiers died in one night. Jesus Christ delivered them. What was the basis of the deliverance? Spiritual revival. And that's the only hope that we have in Client Nation USA. There are some things, as I read to you last time, some positive signs, if they spread throughout the nation. Ohio State University. The football players got up and gave their testimony, gave the grace gospel of Jesus Christ to over 1,000 students. And there was a great spiritual revival is going on right now at Ohio State University. It makes me want to at least root for Ohio State. I like watching college football. I don't give too much of a hoot for professional football. And by the way, the Las Vegas Raiders, they suck. They are horrible. I'll tell you why they're horrible. They have no offensive line. No offensive line. Their running back can't even get 1 yard. And the quarterback is getting sacked, and they got a great, great quarterback, Gardner Minshew. He is a great quarterback, but they got to protect him. They got to give him time. If you want to play professional football, you better concentrate on the line. The offensive line, the defensive line. Defense did not do too bad, but they have no offensive line. So the quarterback's not protected. The running back can't run. And I'll be surprised if they don't finish last. I can't tell you how many times I had to rebound trying to watch that game. I don't want to watch football where I have to rebound the whole damn game. But at Ohio State University, football players got up and gave their testimony. They gave the grace gospel. 1,000 students were there. And they responded and believed in Christ. And so that might be an opening. That might be a beginning. It needs to spread all over the United States. But that's what it will take for the United States to avoid the fifth cycle of national discipline is a spiritual revival. And that's what we have in verse 2. We have the present active indicative of the verb lego, and lego is used to introduce a quotation. That's the main verb for introducing quotations. And here's introducing the quotation from Isaiah 49, verse 8. For he says, quotation of Isaiah 49:8, at the acceptable time, I listen to you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. Now, Isaiah was sitting on top of a great mission field. A spiritual revival in the southern kingdom, Judah, was an explosion just waiting to happen. There was great positive volition at gospel hearing and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. There was also great repentance of believers turning back to God and back to the Word of God, starting with rebound, and then a maximum intake of Bible doctrine taught to them by the great prophet Isaiah and also Joel. The verb to help in the beginning of verse 2 is boetheo. B-O-long-E-T-H-E-long-O. Boetheo. And boetheo means to bring aid, to furnish aid, to help. It means to come to the aid of someone. It means to run to the aid of someone who cries for help. The unbelievers cry for help is in two parts. First of all, positive volition at God consciousness. When anyone, any place on planet Earth has positive volition at God consciousness, God gets the gospel to that person. Wherever he is, anywhere on planet Earth, anyone who is positive at God consciousness, God gets the gospel to them and an opportunity to believe in Christ as their Savior, no matter where they are. So that's positive volition at God consciousness. The unbeliever's cry for help also includes positive volition at gospel hearing. So God helps the unbeliever with positive volition at God consciousness by providing the grace gospel. And God helps the spiritually dead unbeliever with positive volition at gospel hearing by taking his faith in Jesus Christ and making it effective for eternal salvation. And that's the efficacious grace ministry of God the Holy Spirit at salvation. So far then we have, for he says, quotation from Isaiah 49 verse 8, at the acceptable time I listen to you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. Now we have Edu, twice. This is the Greek, it's edu, I-D-O-U. Now, this is the very same as the Hebrew, hine, which we've had. H-I-N-N-E-H. Whether it's Edu in the Greek, Hene in the Hebrew, it's God's way of saying, wake up! Pay attention! This is important! That's what Hene means. Hene, Edu. So we have Edu plus the adverb of time, noon. This is what God is saying to America. I don't know if anybody's listening. Wake up, America. Pay attention, America. This is the hope for America. Plus the nominative singular of kairos, plus the nominative singular adjective, el pros dektas. So, edu means to arouse the attention of the hearers or the readers. Pay attention. Wake up. And it's translated, behold. And then we have the adverb of time, noon. N-U-N, noon. And noon is the adverb of time, correctly translated now. And then we have kairos, and kairos is the same noun we had at the beginning of our quotation from Isaiah 49:8. So we've already looked at this, kairos, second time now, K-A-I-R-O-S, kairos. And kairos refers to a point of time. It refers to that point of time of positive volition at God consciousness. It refers to that point of time of positive volition at gospel hearing. It refers to that moment of faith in Jesus Christ. And therefore it refers to that moment of eternal salvation. And kairos is modified by a very special adjective. And this is the 25 center here. El pros dektas. Good thing we got a big board here. Get it all on. El pros dektas. Actually, three words combined here. So let's get a couple of points on this. One, el pros dektas is a compound word made up of three words. El is the Greek word good. Pros is the preposition face to face with. And dektos means acceptable or opportunity. Acceptable or opportunity. Two, therefore, el pros dektas means acceptable opportunity, the acceptable time. Acceptable opportunity, the acceptable time. Three, this is God graciously responding to the unbelievers' cry for help. This is God graciously responding to the unbelievers' cry for help. Four, this is the grace ministry of God the Holy Spirit making the gospel clear to the unbeliever. This is the common grace ministry of God the Holy Spirit Any time the grace gospel is given to an unbeliever, and that's your responsibility as a royal ambassador for Jesus Christ, you represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. You have a responsibility. Very simple. And you know, from the teaching here, you know the grace gospel. Your responsibility is to simply present the grace gospel clearly and accurately. Let God the Holy Spirit take it from there. God the Holy Spirit is the sovereign executive of witnessing. Your responsibility is only to present the grace gospel clearly and accurately. God the Holy Spirit takes it from there. God the Holy Spirit turns on a light inside their soul so that they can see the issue for salvation. God the Holy Spirit does all that, not you. The Holy Spirit does. He turns on the light. The unbeliever can see the issue of salvation. Now his volition goes into operation. He either believes it or rejects it. If he believes it, then God the Holy Spirit takes his faith and makes it effective for salvation, efficacious grace. If they reject it, they're still in spiritual death. So, point three again, this is God's graciously responding to the unbeliever's cry for help. Four, this is the grace ministry of God the Holy Spirit making the gospel clear to the unbeliever. That's the common grace ministry of the Holy Spirit. Five, this is the efficacious grace ministry of God the Holy Spirit taking the unbeliever's faith in Jesus Christ and making it effective for eternal salvation. So we have, behold, edu, pay attention, wake up, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the acceptable opportunity. And then Paul repeats, edu, behold, now is the day of salvation. Once again, we have the demonstrative particle edu with the adverb of time noon, plus the nominative singular of hamera, plus the genitive singular of soteria. So edu is repeated, behold, noon is repeated, now, and then we have hamera. H long E M E R A, hamera, that's the Greek word for day. And then we have the genitive singular of soteria. S long O T long E R I A, soteria. And soteria is salvation, the day of salvation. So, verse 2 now, we have the parenthesis of spiritual revival. For he says, quoting Isaiah 49 verse 8, at the acceptable time, I listen to you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the acceptable opportunity. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is what Isaiah was teaching. He was sitting on a great mission field, a spiritual revival explosion just waiting to happen. And through the teaching of Isaiah and Joel, there was that great spiritual revival, and Southern Kingdom was delivered from the fifth cycle of discipline. All right. Now you, every one of you, you're living in the church age. And at the moment you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, at that very instant, you received two royal commissions. You were commissioned a royal priest. Now that's absolutely amazing. You were all priests, royal priests. Now in the age of Israel, it was a specialized priesthood. You had to be of the tribe of Levi. If you weren't from the tribe of Levi, you weren't a priest. And those priests offered sacrifices, all kinds of sacrifices, animal sacrifices. They brought the lamb without spot or without blemish, representing Jesus Christ and his impeccability. And they sacrificed him, illustrating the work of Christ on the cross. They had sacrifices for sin offerings and sacrifices for trespass offerings and burnt offerings and peace offerings. There were sacrifices presented in the age of Israel. Well, we, all of you, are a priest, a royal priest, and you're commanded to have spiritual sacrifices. Spiritual sacrifices that you offer day after day after day. But I'll be honest, Christians in this country have no idea. They have no idea that they have been commissioned a royal priest. They have no idea of what spiritual sacrifices are. They have no spiritual life. There is no spiritual sacrifices. And that's the problem that we have in America. But you all are royal priests. And you have been commanded to offer spiritual sacrifices. Day after day after day, spiritual sacrifices. And when you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, when you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attain spiritual maturity, you will offer spiritual sacrifices that honor and glorify God to the maximum. You fulfill your first royal commission, that of a royal priest. And you were given a second royal commission. At the moment of faith in Christ, you were commissioned a royal ambassador for Jesus Christ, to represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And when you are living the spiritual life, you will put on the armor of God, and you will be ready. When you put on the armor of God, the belt of truth, maximum Bible doctrine, the breastplate of righteousness, grace righteousness, spiritual maturity, you'll be ready, because you will have your feet shod with the gospel of reconciliation. And you'll be ready to give that gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, everywhere you go. And one thing, when you live the spiritual life, because of your readiness to fulfill your royal ambassadorship, you'll know instantly when God has opened the door for you to give the grace gospel. You'll know. Wherever you go, whatever you're doing, God will open that grace door, and you'll recognize it right then, because you are living the spiritual life. You understand the spiritual sacrifices you have from your royal priesthood. You understand your responsibility as a spiritual ambassador for Christ. And it doesn't matter where you are. You could be, well, I was at Dallas Seminary. I had a job working nights. I was a janitor. And my job was to go in after everybody else left and dump their garbage out of their waste baskets and clean out their ashtrays. And And the only thing they wanted me to do was wait till everybody was gone. One night I was going in, and the vice president of Salad Master Corporation, his light was on. I go, oh, he forgot to turn his light off. So I opened the door, and he was still there. I said, excuse me, sir, I am sorry. I didn't know anyone was here. He says, no, that's all right, that's all right. He says, come on in, do your job. So I dumped his wastebasket, and he says, aren't you the new guy we hired from Dallas Seminary? I said, yes. So you're going to go into the ministry? I said, yes, sir, I'm preparing for the ministry. God gave me the gift of pastor-teacher. Oh, that's great. You know, I work at a church, Church of Jesus Christ. I go, oh. He said, I'm a very high up in this. I said, well, that's very good. And I started to go out, and I said, you know what? God just turned the light on and says, God says, I opened this door for you. This is an opportunity for you. I turned around and I said, do you mind if I ask you one thing? What do you have to do to get to heaven? Now, if he's a big up in the church, if it's the Church of Christ, the Church of Christ is big in Dallas. He said, you have to believe in Christ and be baptized. Now, what if you're not baptized? Well, then you're not saved. I go, oh. I said, you remember when Christ was on the cross? There were two criminals that were crucified next to him, and one of them believed in Jesus Christ. But he wasn't baptized. Nobody picked up the cross and dunked it in the lake. All he could do when you're crucified on the cross, all you can do is believe. You can't do any works and you can't be baptized. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. But he wasn't baptized. He just simply believed in Christ. And he looked at me, his jaw dropped. I have never heard, they never taught that in the Church of Christ. I said, well, religion does not teach a lot of things. I said, sir, if you're trusting in the fact that you're going to go to heaven because you were baptized, you're not going to heaven. You're going to go to hell. You're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire because you've added works to grace. Salvation is by grace, not by works. I said, if I was you, I would take the time and pray to the Father and say, I am just simply believing in Jesus Christ and his work on the cross for me, for my salvation, apart from any works. And then you'll be in heaven. I'll be in heaven. I'll see you up there. And he actually went, I never asked people, do you believe what I just said? I never have asked that of anyone. God the Holy Spirit is, I know that God the Holy Spirit is the sovereign executive. He's the one that turns the light on. He's the one that makes the gospel clear, the grace gospel clear. So I just let God the Holy Spirit work. But as I was leaving, he was bowing and beginning to pray. I just went on out. I expect that he is going to be in heaven. But here he was, a big mucky muck in Church of Christ, and he wasn't even saved. But the thing is, you need to be ready. And you'll know, when God opens that door, you'll know it because you are living the spiritual life. You're ready to give the gospel when Jesus Christ opens the door. You're ready to go. And you present the grace gospel, oh, everywhere you go. I've been in a casino playing blackjack. playing blackjack in a casino. And the gal says, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor of a church. And the guy sitting next to me goes, you're a pastor of a church? Yes, I am. I'm a deacon in a church. If my pastor knew I was playing blackjack, he'd throw me out. I said, well, if he throws you out, come over to our church and come in. And I'll make you play blackjack and I'll be the dealer. You know? No, I didn't say that. Well, that dealer came to Upland Bible Church. And you know, I not only give the gospel, I give the gospel to people who love dogs. I don't know how many people have brought their dogs here. She had a dog and brought the dog here. So she came with the dog. And the next time I went in and sat down at her table, there's a person there. She goes, this fellow is a priest. And I go, you know, it's close enough. I am a priest, a royal priest. I'm not going to try to explain all that to her, but you got to be ready. And you'll know when God opens the door, you'll be ready to give the gospel all over Las Vegas, wherever you go, whatever you do. I go into Total Wine. There's a guy there I've given the gospel to. I've given the gospel booklet to. And every time I go in, I talk about, have you read that gospel booklet I gave to you? Yes. Well, if you believe that, I'll see you in heaven. And he's in Total Wine. Every time I go in, God opens the door. You give the gospel, no matter where you are, what you're doing. Well, that's your royal ambassadorship. And we need that. There's a lot of people out there with a lot of false gospels and a lot of religion, but very, very few presenting the grace gospel of Jesus Christ. And I have a few restaurants Deb and I love to go to. And we give the gospel and gospel booklets to every one of our waiters. Then they all know that I'm Pastor Olson. I give them all the grace gospel, explain the grace gospel, and we have some marvelous waiters who are Christians that are fantastic waiters. Took the widows in to one of the restaurants, and we had a Christian waiter wait on us. By the way, I thanked him again. It was so fantastic what he did for the widows when we were there. It was phenomenal. We have that coming. Now we're in the new month. Get ready. Get ready. But wherever you go, God will open the door. Be ready. You're a royal ambassador for Jesus Christ. What do we need in America? We need a revival. And we need you fulfilling your royal priesthood. We need you fulfilling your royal ambassadorship. And be ready. And God will open doors and you never know what's going to happen. That's the only hope we have for America. So for he says, quoting Isaiah 49:8, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time, acceptable opportunity. Behold, now is the day of salvation. All right? Doctrine of witnessing. Doctrine of witnessing. For the first point is introduction. Under introduction, one, every believer in Jesus Christ is in full-time Christian service. Every believer in Jesus Christ is in full-time Christian service. Every one of you. You all are. Not just Pastor Olson. You're all in full-time Christian service. Two, every church-age believer has been commissioned a royal ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Every church-age believer has been commissioned a royal ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we studied that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 18 to 21, right before we got here. 2 Corinthians 5, 18, now all these things are from God, God the Father, the one who reconciled us to himself through the agency of Christ. And he, God the Father, gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God the Father was in Christ reconciling the world, all of mankind, to himself, not imputing their trespasses, their personal sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation, the grace gospel. Now, we keep on being ambassadors for Christ. God the Holy Spirit, as it were, makes his appeal through us, the convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit. We request on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Verse 21, he, God the Father, made the one who knew no sin, the impeccability of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin, the judicial imputation of all the world's sins to the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, as a substitute for us, for the purpose that we might become the righteousness of God in him, in union with Jesus Christ as a result of the baptism of the Spirit and current positional truth, sharing the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So every church age believer has been commissioned a royal ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 20. 3, as a royal ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ, we present Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Paul puts it in Romans that we are debtors. We owe this to the unbelievers, to the unbelieving world. We owe them the grace gospel. So as a royal ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ, we present Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Now, being in full-time Christian service is not a matter of dedication. You don't dedicate into full-time Christian service. You simply believe in Jesus Christ. And at that moment of salvation, at that very moment, you're in full-time Christian service. At the moment of faith in Christ, every church-age believer receives two royal commissions. We are commissioned a royal priest, 1 Peter 2, 5 and 9. We are commissioned a royal ambassador, 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 20. Now, first of all, let's turn over to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, 5 and 9. First Peter 2, verse 5, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. What's the reason? To offer up spiritual sacrifices. What do priests do? In the Old Testament, the Levitical priests offered sacrifices. Now we are priests. What are we to do? Offer sacrifices. Here's the reason. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Are you offering your spiritual sacrifices under your royal priesthood day after day after day? Verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the virtues of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, so again, we are commissioned a royal priest, 1 Peter 2:5 and 9, and commissioned a royal ambassador, 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 20. Now, I saw some of you looking like, well, what are these spiritual sacrifices? I'm a royal priest. I know I'm not supposed to take a lamb without spot or blemish and cut his throat and take him, put him on the altar. So what's the sacrifice I'm? Good question. I'm glad you asked that. So in 1 Peter 2:5, we have the reason we are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. Why? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. All right, what are those spiritual sacrifices? Well, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, let's start at verse 15. Through Him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. That's one of the spiritual sacrifices. Praise to God, and that's prayer, by the way. Praise to God is a prayer. And giving thanks to God, thanksgiving, grace orientation, that's in prayer too. Those are sacrifices. Every time you pray to the Father and you're in fellowship and you praise God for who and what He is, His essence, His attributes, His plan, His will, and offer up the fruit of lips, you can give thanksgiving to Him, to God, for His name. You're offering spiritual sacrifices. And that is day after day, every day, every day, every day. You're a royal priest. And as your royal priesthood, you offer up spiritual sacrifices. And then verse 16. And do not neglect doing good, divine good production. Those are spiritual sacrifices, divine good production. And giving, for with such sacrifices, divine good production and grace giving, these are spiritual sacrifices. And God is pleased with these spiritual sacrifices. You're a royal priest. You should be offering spiritual sacrifices. And if you're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, then you'll be offering spiritual sacrifice. But you're a royal priest. The Levitical priests offered sacrifices. You're a royal priest. And unfortunately today, very, very few Christians, they don't offer any spiritual sacrifices to God. They don't even understand that they're a royal priest. They don't understand the spiritual life, which is the basis of fulfilling your royal priesthood, representing yourself before God. But it's so fantastic. You're a royal priest. And the reason is now God wants you to offer spiritual sacrifices. So what are these spiritual sacrifices? Well, they're given here. Prayer, offer up the sacrifice of praise to God. What are you doing? You're praying. You're praying to the Father. And as you pray to the Father, well, The more you learn about prayer and the more you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you'll spend more and more of your time in thanksgiving. I spend more time in thanksgiving than I do in any other part of my prayer. And I have people I pray for. I have intercessory prayer. And there's some people I know are going through, they're running hurdles of undeserved suffering for blessing. And they got major, major undeserved suffering. And I pray for them. I pray for them so hard, I get hemorrhoids trying to pray for them. And I go through the essence of God and I thank God for every attribute. Every attribute. I thank Him for every one. What is that? That's a spiritual sacrifice. Every day when you pray and you offer up prayer to the Father and you thank, thanksgiving from your lips, thanksgiving to Him in prayer, thanking Him for the fact He's the sovereign God of the universe. He's the quarterback. He calls the plays. He's the potter and I'm the clay. His decisions are perfect. His plans are perfect. And He has a perfect plan for me and Deb and all of you. I thank God for that. That's a spiritual sacrifice that pleases God. And He's a holy God. Absolute righteousness and perfect justice, infinite integrity and virtue and honor, and He's infinitely fair with all of us. He's infinitely fair with all of us. And I thank God for that, that He's infinitely fair with me and Deb and each one of you. That's a spiritual sacrifice. And He's virtue love, and He loves us all with infinite virtue love. How great is that? He's eternal life and He's given us eternal security at the moment of faith in Christ. The gift of eternal life. He's the omniscient God. He knows everything about us. All of our circumstances, all of our situations, all of our problems, all of our suffering, all of our adversity, and all of our prosperity. And I thank God that He knows. And He knew about it before I was ever here. And He's the omnipresent God. He, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit indwell me and then indwell you. They're with you every second of every day. When's the last time you thank God for that? That's a spiritual sacrifice. But if you don't know God, you're not living the spiritual life. Hell, you never thank God for anything. These are spiritual sacrifices. You're a royal priest. What are you doing with your priesthood? And He's the omnipotent, all-powerful God, the creator of the universe. He can solve any problem. And that's where, at that point, I get into intercessory prayer with people that I know. Winner believers facing undeserved suffering for blessing. And I thank God He is the omnipotent, all-powerful God. He can solve any problem. And I bring people before Him. Now, I believe that 1,000,000%. And I tell God that. He's not impressed when I throw in 1,000,000. But anyway, I tell Him 1,000,000%. I believe that. I know that He can solve any problem. And I pray that He will. I put these people before Him. But I also say, while I pray this, Father, I'm not the sovereign God. I'm not the quarterback. And I don't call the plays. You do. And I just thank You for Your decisions and Your plans that You have for each one of us. To You goes the honor and the glory. What is all that? Those are spiritual sacrifices. And when you attain spiritual adulthood and spiritual maturity, these spiritual sacrifices you will offer day after day after day after day. And it pleases God. That pleases God. That's Hebrews 13, 15 and 16. But it's not just stop there with prayer or thanksgiving to God. It includes divine good production. That's verse 16. And do not neglect doing good, divine good production, and giving. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Those are spiritual sacrifices. Divine good production. Grace giving. These are spiritual sacrifices that please God. And these are all a part of your priesthood. You are a royal priest. How fantastic is that? And as you live the spiritual life and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, grace orientation and doctrinal orientation, you'll come to know these things. And that you, if you haven't known it before, well, you know it now. You've been commissioned a royal priest. And the reason is so that you offer spiritual sacrifices. Spiritual sacrifices. Prayer. Thanksgiving to God. Thanking God for who and what He is. His essence, His plan, His will, His purpose. Divine good production and grace giving. So, there are five categories of full-time Christian service. Five categories of full-time Christian service. First of all, Christian service related to our spiritual gifts and all the spiritual gifts can be involved in witnessing for Christ. All of them. It's a team. We have the evangelism team of Upland Bible Church. Jamie has a gift of ministry and service that's headed that up. And I'm always amazed. I've known Jamie for a long time. Here is a gal that she comes in and talks to me and she gets so nervous she just can hardly get the words out. She's so nervous. And she contacts people all over Southern Nevada and say, we'd love to come and present a freedom program and give the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they've opened up doors all over Southern Nevada, adult daycare centers all over Southern Nevada, the Veterans Home in Boulder City, out at Indian Springs, gone there repeatedly again and again. The last Easter, 175 people heard the grace gospel on Easter. Child Haven has had us back and back and back again to present the grace gospel to the kids. And those are my heart goes out to every one of those kids. They're in a very difficult situation at home. They're not even at home. That's why they're at Child Haven. And we have a team that works together as a team, and the grace gospel is given clearly and accurately. And we won't know till we get to heaven. But when we get to heaven, there will be multitudes and multitudes of children, adults, who believed in Jesus Christ as a result of the fulfillment of their full-time Christian service. So first of all, Christian service is related to our spiritual gifts. Secondly, Christian service is related to our royal priesthood. And I pointed this out in 1 Peter 2, 5 and 9, Hebrews 13, 15 and 16. And the spiritual sacrifices that we offer to God from our royal priesthood. Third, Christian service is related to our royal ambassadorship. Fourth, Christian service is related to invisible impact for Christ. Now, this is very important. You don't realize it unless you know the Word of God. But this is the ultimate in Christian service because we have a phenomenal testimony to angels. Billions of angels. As well as those in our immediate periphery, guardian angels and those who attend here. But you have a testimony to billions of angels. So Christian service related to invisible impact for Christ. And five, Christian service related to your job. All right. Well, there you go. There's point one on the doctrine of witnessing. You got to come back next week for point two. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. We thank you for the privilege that you've given to us. You have placed us all in full-time Christian service. Thank you for the commissions of royal priesthood and royal ambassadorship. We pray, sir, we might honor and glorify you to the maximum. And we pray for our nation. We pray for our nation that you might open the eyes of people all over America to see Jesus Christ and the grace gospel. There might be a great spiritual revival in America. For we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.